This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Warden threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wait. The band was jumping and the drum began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in an old cell block.
If that doesn't make you want to get up and move around, I don't know what will. That was Elvis. Jailhouse Rock. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We're rocking here. I am Paul Molloy, along with my rocking partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you very much for joining us on this Monday, April the 29th. Hey, only one more day in the month is left. Got a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Anders Edwardsson. He is the author of a new book. It's called Radical Betrayal: How Liberals and Neoconservatives Are Wrecking American Exceptionalism. So I can't wait to talk with him. He'll be here in just a few minutes. And Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, they got together yesterday for a private meeting in Miami. We're going to tell you what they discussed and why. Meantime, was there a White House plot to get rid of Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre? There might have been. We're going to take a peek at it. And a former Big Three car honcho tells why the push to market electric vehicles right now is one big colossal mistake. We'll talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 best housing markets for right now. Spring 2024. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay, I'm telling you, get over to Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. Andrew's Master Barbershop, they are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call for your appointment. 727-733-3773. And for those of you that have any kind of a need that deals with trees, you want to get rid of them, you want to plant them, you want to enhance them, you want to stump grind, ArborLife Tree Service. ArborLife is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, the House is back. Yeah, they're back in session. They are going to be here for four weeks straight in Washington after a brief recess. And for the leader, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, it's going to be the start of a very fine threaded needle, the start of a legislative sprint with one less reliable House GOP vote. Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, regarded as a rising star in the Republican Party, shocked everybody by saying he's getting out. He said he would leave Congress before the end of his term. And his official departure was Friday. So that's, I mean, talk about, I think they're down to just two votes. Republicans have a two-vote majority right now in the House. And due to the timing of Gallagher's retirement, his seat's not going to be filled until January of 2025. So we got a long time to go without that seat. Johnson's public remarks and even leadership decisions, reflecting that he's keenly aware of the historically slim margin that he has. And you know, he's got some Republicans biting at his heels. So how's he going to manage all of this? There's a special election right now going on in New York. It's going to replace Brian Higgins. He's a Democrat who's getting out. And that election is tomorrow. Now, that favors the Democrats, so that'll add one more Democrat to the fold. So it's going to be a very tight situation. Meantime, former President Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis reportedly met privately yesterday in Miami. A source said that during the several hour-long meeting, DeSantis agreed to help Trump close his fundraising gap with President Biden in their election rematch. So I guess Trump won't be calling him Ron DeSanctimonious anymore, at least for a while.
No, he's back to DeSantis.
Yes. DeSantis has built up a formidable network of wealthy donors who right now could be very helpful to Trump. The Washington Post says that the get-together was orchestrated by this guy, Steve Witkoff. He's a big-time real estate broker in Florida, a friend of both Trump and DeSantis. The meeting appears to be the first time that DeSantis and Trump have spoken to each other, let alone met in person, since the governor ended his White House bid in January. The former president and his allies spent nearly a year going after DeSantis as they squared off for the nomination. Then DeSantis, of course, suspended his campaign just 2 days ahead of the New Hampshire primary and then endorsed Trump. So I guess they're getting back together. You know, this thing with Trump, he'll literally split you in half and quarter you, and then he becomes your buddy again. Look, remember what he did to Marco Rubio and to Ted Cruz? Remember all that?
Well, remember the bar was lowered when our vice president there called Joe Biden, Kamala Harris called Joe Biden a racist during the race, you know,
when she was running for the nomination.
So it's all is forgiven.
All is fair and loving politics.
He needs to pick a running mate soon because that could take some pressure off fundraising and whatnot.
I think you're absolutely right about that. Real quickly, we still have a couple minutes before the break. So I know you love her, Ed, Karine Jean-Pierre.
Oh, boy.
The Biden administration is denying that there was a secret internal plot to get rid of dear old KJP as press secretary. The deputy White House press secretary, Andrew Bates, forcefully rejecting claims from multiple sources that outside Democrats plan to urge Jean-Pierre to voluntarily take a hike. According to the sources, Jean-Pierre's bosses were unhappy with her habit of reading prepared answers directly from her binder. Oh, wait a second.
Well,
let me open up my binder. I got that marked.
We've over the years we've made fun of John Paul Jones there every time she'd open up that binder, because when you're asking the question, she's getting to the area of the book of where the answer.
Correct.
Come on. These are answers coming from the president or somewhere around him.
Yes.
They're written down in that book, and what they're mad about is she's reading it.
Yeah.
But what about the doofus that's reading the same thing on the prompter?
I know.
Reading things like, okay, now pause,
yes.
Repeat, pause, repeat.
Wait for applause. Yeah, that's right. Apparently she doesn't do it as seamlessly as Peppermint Patty used to do it, the one that was, before her. That then took a job with CNN or somebody. It's not an easy job. It's very easy.
Oh, it's not an easy job.
It's easy to poke fun at these people.
I have a lot of respect
for
her.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to take a lot of slings and arrows there.
But
even though the press, for the most part, has been subservient
to
Biden.
It's not fair to have her go in there with already having bad feelings against the right or Fox or whatever that she's already. Somebody from Fox stands up and asks a question, you can see her mouth just drop. Here we go.
She's very condescending to people, too. You know what I mean?
You know, if we're not asking what flavor ice cream he had last night, then, we're getting on our nerves.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. A little White House inner office intrigue. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Anders Edwardson, the author of a new book, Radical Betrayal, will be with us. You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter.
the fuse is just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Monday. It's a beautiful day, by the way, at Tampa Bay. Delighted to be here and delighted to have Anders Edwardson join us. He is the author of a new book called Radical Betrayal, How Liberals and Neoconservatives Are Wrecking American Exceptionalism. So just by the title alone, I am intrigued. Anders, welcome to FreedomWorks.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me. It's great to be on the show.
Yeah, absolutely our pleasure. And it's also nice to know, Anders, you're a local guy. You live in Safety Harbor, which is just down the road from us here in Clearwater. So tell us a little bit about this book. The title alone says that maybe we're not quite the country that we used to be. Tell us a little bit about what your book is really all about.
Yeah, I would love to do that. It's a popularized version of a PhD thesis in political science I wrote a few years ago. But that shouldn't make you too scared to read it, because I have humanized the language so it's free from almost all academic mumbo-jumbo. And as you can see, the beef is in the pudding, so to speak, in the title. What has happened to this country the last 100 years or so is that it's a double radical betrayal of American exceptionalism, both from the left and some people on the right. And it's actually three parts, because when you say a radical betrayal, you must mean it's radical in relations to something, and it's a betrayal of something. And it's a radical betrayal of American exceptionalism in the form that the founding fathers once formulated it, meaning that the U.S. should be an alternative to the corrupt, high-tax, over-regulated regimes of old Europe. And we should be a free country, a federal union with a very small national government, and where the state should deal with more or less everything day-to-day, social, cultural issues, or even better, people themselves on the country level or in their homes. And the last 100 years, both sides, in different ways, has betrayed this vision. On the left, it hardly goes without saying, the Democratic Party has completely left and betrayed American exceptionalism by becoming a European-style social democratic party that wants a big government, a top-down welfare state, high taxes, killing regulations, and all that. But also on the right, the what we today call the neoconservatives, since the Spanish-American War, there's been part of the Republican Party that wanted to, that has abandoned George Washington's and the others' peaceful foreign policy and misused, corrupted American exceptionalism and exceptionalist rhetoric to invade other countries and try to introduce, as they say, freedom to other countries, Iraq, for example, where it is obviously a hopeless cause, and it has only costed us money, and it has increased the strength and the size of the federal government, just like the federal welfare state has done. So again, it's a double radical betrayal of original American exceptionalism.
Yeah. No, I think you are stating it very, very well. Anders, may I ask you, you are from Europe, correct?
Sweden originally.
Sweden, yes, I was going to say. And the reason I ask you that is because you would be able to come from a country that has a little bit, or at least at one point, people considered to be a social democracy, socialist democracy in Sweden. And you come over to the United States, and you have seen this transfer and this movement towards more of a socialistic state here, correct?
Yes, it's like rewatching a bad old movie. The left and center of American politics today is doing the same old stupid mistakes over and over again. Just like Sweden, Germany, Britain, France, Spain, all of those countries did in the 1900s.
And you make an interesting point. I want to talk to you a little bit about it. When we formed our country, we were concerned about the individual freedom of the people in our within our borders, and we were not concerned about colonialism, about expanding our power. We were concerned about freedom within our borders, as you so nicely aptly mentioned about George Washington. And then comes the Spanish-American War in the late 1800s. Cuba and all of those kinds of things, and the concern that we were trying to seek, possibly seek additional territory, which was not in our best interest, and was, in other words, were we starting to move away from the exceptionalism of our country when we started looking overseas and, you know, outside of our borders?
Absolutely. The exceptionalism as formulated by George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and other guys, it had two main pillars. One, it was that the U.S. should be different. It should have a smaller government, a freer political culture, more personal freedom, etc. The other pillar was a peaceful foreign policy. We should proudly stand up and be a model, the shining city on a hill, as Reagan always talked about, for how you could do it, how you could be a free and wealthy country. And everyone, if someone wanted to copy us, great, we can even help you with advice and so on. But none of the founders ever dreamt about sending military abroad to implement the American system with force in other countries, because they were smart enough to know that every country is unique, it has its unique history, its unique culture, and I think more or less everyone, except maybe Thomas Paine, sometimes said that the American type of freedom is unique for us because we had that unique heritage, the English traditions, Enlightenment, being breakaway republics. You can't. Politics isn't like a cookbook where you can go wherever you want and cook the same thing just by reading it in a recipe. It must be take local customs, historical traditions must be taken into account. That said, then there's some basic free markets, free elections, freedom of speech. They are as close to absolutes that works everywhere as we can come. Mm-hmm. But it's not our job to tell the Iraqis or Afghanis or something to adopt our version of it.
Yes. We're talking with Anders Edvardsen. He is the author of a book called Radical Betrayal, How Liberals and Neoconservatives Are Wrecking American Exceptionalism. He's a local gentleman out of Safety Harbor. I'm going to ask you, Anders, after World War II, I mean, we were forced into that war. We were attacked Pearl Harbor. Germany declared war on us. So there we were, and we really got into the situation. And at the end of the war, we were the mighty power, and mm-hmm. other countries looked to us to help them mm-hmm. rebuild. And it was very hard for us not to want to impose our doctrine on these countries that had been basically taken apart in Europe mm-hmm. And in Japan. So how do you think that we were wrong? Was this a big turning point where we were starting to, you know, rear our colonial instincts after World War II?
I wouldn't call it colonial instincts because we didn't want to occupy them and take their resources and stuff like that. But it was like, call it an American exceptionalism on speed if you want. After winning two world wars and becoming the leading democracy in the Cold War, and then winning the Cold War, a lot of people became so convinced that our kind of government, our kind of freedom will work everywhere, that they started to disregard local. I mean, for example, in invading Iraq, it was once upon a time called Mesopotamia, and they have been fighting for different things for over 5,000 years, if not 10, believing that you can go in there and in a couple of years introduce Western democracy and capitalism by just snapping your fingers after hanging the evil dictator is naive at best.
Mm-hmm.
But I think absolutely after the Second World War, America was the only country that was big and strong and wealthy enough to stand up against world communism. It was nothing wrong with doing that. And but after the Cold War was won, this Clinton and later Bush Jr. and Obama turning us into a world police that should go everywhere and fix everything. Mm-hmm. It was just stupid. Yeah. You should call a spade a spade. It was stupid.
Do you think that we should pull away from our involvement in Israel, in the Ukraine, in the protection of Taiwan? We've been placed, or we've helped put ourselves in a position where other countries are looking to us, mm-hmm. looking to us to allow the maintaining of these countries. Mm-hmm. To some extent, the security of these countries. Is it time for these countries to divest itself of looking at the United States as its parent?
It absolutely it is. And first and foremost, the EU, the Europeans, need to stop subsidizing French cow and Belgian gay parades, pride parades, with EU money. They need to take the EU money. If they want to save Ukrainian freedom from the Russians, that has committed, Putin has committed, I don't know how many war crimes here. But that's Europe's backyard, not ours. We have our own backyard with Mexico and the Caribbean and the bleeding border and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We are $35 trillion in debt and counting.
Yes.
We can't continue to pay for everyone. If we help really small and isolated countries like Taiwan and Israel is one thing. But Europe, gosh darn it, excuse my French, they have so much money. And they are just next door. They know the geography. Mm-hmm. They know the cultures. This is their type, yeah. Not ours.
I want to promote your book. How would somebody be able to find and purchase your book, Radical Betrayal, Anders?
You can go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and buy it online, or you can go to my website, radicalbetrayal.com, and find a link there and some more information about it. Radicalbetrayal.com.
Radicalbetrayal.com. Go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. A real pleasure, Anders, to have you on. You make a great deal of sense. I enjoyed this conversation. I wish you nothing but success with your book.
Yeah, thank you. And I would be glad to come on again if you want.
Indeed. We'll look forward to that. Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Anders.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too. All right, Anders Edwards. And again, the book is Radical Betrayal. Going to take our break. And when we come back, a former Big Three car honcho tells why the push to market electric vehicles is a colossal mistake.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Blue Monday. It's a very sunny, nice-looking Monday out here in Tampa Bay, and delighted to be back. So, you know, Kristi Noem is a possible vice presidential candidate for Donald Trump. And we were talking off mic a little bit, Ed and I, about the fact that Trump needs to get a vice presidential pick so that that person can run around and do a little bit of campaigning while he is stuck in court right now in Manhattan. And Kristi Noem is one of those people, Ed. But unfortunately, she's got some bad publicity just popped up. She...
Naked photos?
No.
Damn.
She's... when she was younger, she killed her pet dog. In her new book, No Going Back, she described taking her 14-month-old female dog, Cricket, to a gravel pit near her farm in South Dakota and shooting it because, quote, it was less than worthless.
Why would you put something like that in a book?
I know.
Why don't you just bury me now?
I know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why she brought it up, but she said it was less than worthless, it was untrainable.
Wow.
And that it had killed and eaten several chickens on the farm. She said, I can understand why some people are upset about a 20-year-old story of Cricket, one of the working dogs at our ranch, in my book. The book is filled with many honest stories of my life, good and bad, painful decisions, challenges, and lessons learned. She said, the fact is, South Dakota law states that dogs who attack and kill livestock can be put down. She also apparently shot a goat that was mean and nasty at some point. But, you know, if you live on a farm, sometimes those things occur.
You ever been clipped by a goat?
I don't want to ever be clipped by a goat.
That hurts. And if I had a gun, I'd have shot him.
Did you get clipped by a goat? Really?
I did. They will charge you.
Yes, I know they will.
They will.
How much did they charge you?
Mm.
No, but where were you when you got clipped?
Down in the islands.
Oh, wow.
Messing around and...
Were you teasing the goat?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, that's... But
they just come after you.
Wow. Well, speaking about coming after you, guess who we have who've come after us? We've got both Andrew and Angelo, the Ceresi brothers. And I was reading some of the history, Angelo and Andrew, of Rochester, New York. Boy, there was a lot of things going on when you kids were growing up there. I didn't realize that Rochester, New York had a bunch of mobsters that were running around. But I got a history lesson. Angelo, you'll appreciate this. I got a little bit of a history lesson about it from your brother.
Uh-oh.
and I went and I looked it up, and there was some pretty bad stuff that was going on in Rochester, New York, back in the 80s.
Yep. They had some
and the
bombings.
70s. Yeah.
Shootings. Yes, quite a bit.
There was some interesting characters there. Valenti. Salvatore Gingello. Good old Salvatore Gingello. Andrew, I know you can tell us a little bit about that guy. But there was quite a bit of hanky-panky going on in Rochester, New York.
It was a lot of the mob guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm coming from Chicago. Should I talk about it? We had a little bit of trouble in our own backyard. So anyway, I want to get to some of these things that are going on right now. We got Donald Trump still in court. What do you guys think? We were just talking about this. What do you two think about Donald Trump quickly announcing a vice presidential running mate? What do you think, Andrew?
You got to do it right away so they can get out there and campaign for him. He needs a strong campaigner.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got him tied up in court. You know, someone's got to be speaking the word.
Not only that, but it kind of, to me, it would signal the next step is we're moving forward. I mean, it's almost like we're hanging in the balance of these court decisions and whatnot, where if he actually has a running mate, we're going forward no matter what. I mean, it's just a signal to me.
Yeah. Do you think we were just talking a little bit about... Christy Noem's troubles with shooting dogs and goats and stuff like that. Do you think she's going to talk her way out of being a candidate? What do you think, Angelo, and who do you think Trump ought to select for a running mate?
Well, he's either got Tim Scott, or he's probably going to pick a woman. I don't know if it's going to be Christy Noem or not. I'll bet you it's got to be Stefanik New York State, or Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yes, her name's come up. What about the governor of Iowa? She was a big supporter of Donald Trump, too.
She was, too, but she's not as known as, say, Christy Noem or Tim Scott or Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
That's true.
You've got to have somebody that's well-known, you know, that's out there and out in the public and everything like that. And you have to have a campaigner that's going to have to be taking over for Donald Trump right now,
yeah,
while he's kind of in this bogus cult.
Yeah. No, no, that makes sense. Andrew, I know we have discussed this before, that Trump and DeSantis had a meeting yesterday in Miami.
That's right.
And Donald Trump apparently is putting the touch on Ron for a few extra bucks to continue on with his campaigning. Is there any chance in your mind that he might consider Ron DeSantis as his vice presidential running mate? And if so, would Ron DeSantis accept it, in your opinion?
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Okay.
Hey, listen, Paul, politics is politics.
Yeah.
During the primary, they call each other's names, they yell and scream, and it's over with. They kiss and make up.
Yeah.
And Ron would be great VP pick.
Yeah, I mean, nobody can complain about the kiss and make up thing. Look what Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, Kamala Harris all but called Joe Biden a bigot when she was...
And a racist.
A racist is what I mean, yes. So, and then he turns around and makes her his vice presidential running mate.
That's right.
So maybe it wouldn't be so surprising. The only thing I would think about is you need to draw somebody that will help bring in more votes. And I'm not so sure that Ron, you know, coming from Florida, would be the right choice. I do think Tim Scott would be a good one.
Why wouldn't Ron be? You got to remember when he was in the race with, what's her name, that finally dropped out?
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. He was ahead of her. She only moved up because he dropped out.
Well, I think he's going to need a woman, or he's going to need Tim Scott as vice president.
Listen, I would pick the one that the left is absolutely afraid of as a running mate, and that would be Ron DeSantis. They want Nikki Haley because they can boss her around.
Right,
but Ron DeSantis goes in there, and God forbid anything happens to Trump, or he doesn't make it or whatever, I don't know, at least they have to deal with him.
So
he's a good choice. I would back him up in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I'm talking with a group of people that are on the right side of the Republican Party, and so Ron DeSantis is good. But do you think for independents that Ron DeSantis would be a guy that independents would coalesce around, as opposed to say Tim Scott?
But we're going back to, we're not picking the best candidate available. We're picking the best one that will
help him win.
Win, get votes for this group or that group, or bring money in.
But
we're not picking the best candidate.
But
and
that's
guilty
almost
of that
always
now.
The rationale for selecting a vice president. If you go back and look at all the people that were vice presidents, generally they helped to balance the ticket. Go ahead.
Any Republican candidate for vice president is the best pick compared to what we have today. Any Republican. It could be Alfred E. Newman on that cartoon. Alfred E. Newman. Any Republican would be the best candidate. Vice president.
Yeah. I mean, there's no comparison. I certainly would agree with you that Kamala Harris, you know, is pretty, a fire hydrant would be a better candidate.
Hey, Angelo, are you busy today?
I'm putting a motor in my pool pump.
Oh, no. Angelo.
Oh.
I don't care what you're
about
doing.
He's never busy.
Are you busy? when you're.
We got the motor. Get your motor running.
When you're done here, I want you to go down to where you bought that phone and get your money back.
Yeah, your phone is
that bad.
It's a little bit, you sound like you're in a broom closet right now.
I'm sitting in a car.
Come on out of the closet.
Oh, you're in the car right now?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So have we resolved the vice presidential issue? What else do we need to talk about here?
Well, if you look at a good pricing for vice presidential pick would be a gay black transsexual. If you want to attract votes, I mean, come on.
I quit.
You're trying to attract votes, I mean, that's going to do it, right?
It's not a bad idea. What about that transsexual swimmer that...
No? If that happens, I'll move to Canada.
But like I say, I think you might see Ron DeSantis in the pick. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, you don't have to be sorry. That would be a very, very interesting pick. I don't think it'll happen, but then I'm the guy that lost a bet to you that Trump was going to run. So
there you go.
Never know. You never know.
I want my Trump 24 hats. Where are they?
What's that?
I'm looking for, my brother was supposed to send me these Trump hats, right? Trump 2024, make America great again.
Oh, yeah.
I got all kinds of Trump hats for him, but I can't afford to mail them up to him.
Could you, why don't you send a drone? Can a drone send a drone with a big basket of hats?
They don't go that far. Oh, okay.
They don't go that far. All right.
So this weekend, they were still out there pro-Palestinian, huh? Did you see a bunch of them, and there were a bunch of Jewish protesters on the other side of the street that started fighting?
Well, you knew that that was going to happen. I mean, this is really getting to be a little bit... a lot of these campuses are just plain losing control. Isn't Southern Cal shutting down the remainder of the semester because of it?
Yep.
That is come ridiculous.
On now. Are you kowtowing to a handful of protesters?
If I was
going on with your ability to be an adult?
If I was a student or a parent of a student, I would demand my money back right now.
Mm-hmm.
And transfer.
Yeah.
You guys ready to pay for their tuition too? Huh? According to the president, he wants to get done hot, bringing off their student loans.
Would you say that again, Angelo? It's hard for you're kind of coming in and out a little bit.
Okay. Are you guys willing to pay for their tuition now? How about with those
pay for their tuition? Yeah, that's another thing. Hey, that's a very good point, and I got a story on that. Let me bring it up now. If I can find it here, about the tuition that, here it is. The Biden administration is silent on whether students protesting Israel will be barred from student loan forgiveness programs. The White House was asked yesterday if the administration plans to bar student protesters from student loan forgiveness, but did not respond. Biden, in part, campaigned in 2020 on forgiving student loan debt, including pledging to cancel at least $10,000 per borrower back in 2020. And, of course, the Supreme Court struck that down, but he's still trying to figure it out. Why don't they come out and say whether they're going to help finance these?
Because they're stringing this along. If you, what we're talking about today sums up what's going on. This administration is all about deflecting things. Now, what are we not talking about today? We're not talking about the border anymore.
Right.
Now we're talking about these protesters, which may or may not be Biden's fault. I don't think you can blame it on him.
No.
You can't. Maybe he's not being...
Why not blame him? Blame Trump for everything?
Because if you go in there with water cannons and everything like that, you're going to get the people that are saying you're being inhumane to them and blah, 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 blah. So they're trying the diplomatic way of getting these people out, and they're going to tell you it's going to take time. But if anything, it's taking everybody's eyes off the border.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think you're making a good point. And all of a sudden, our focus is somewhere else. We got so many things going on right now, you know. You would think that these universities would, I don't know. Here in Florida, DeSantis and Florida State and the University of Florida said, we find out. You guys violating demonstration policy, you're gone. We're not going to keep you here.
And
that's helping stem the tide in those two campuses.
I did see around Clearwater on my way to Indian Rocks a group of probably about 20 pro-Israeli and U.S. flags and Israeli flags on the corners.
Okay.
So I saw that. I didn't see any Hamas people or I would have stopped.
Good.
But...
Hey, guys, we got to run. It's always a pleasure. And the next time we talk, Angelo, I know we'll be talking from your house where you have a better phone.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
Tell them to buy a Cadillac next time. The phone will be better
there
than they afford.
What are you, in a Tesla?
He's in an EV. No wonder we're having bad reception. All right, guys, thanks so much.
Be good.
All right. Okay, bye. All right, there they go. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things... The top 10 best housing markets for right now, spring 2024.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okay, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you for listening. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. If you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all our shows on podcast. You can listen at your leisure. Bless him. OurFreedomWorks.com. So, former Big Three car exec Bob Lutz, detailing why he thinks the electric vehicle push is not resonating, either with buyers or suppliers. He says the idea of EVs gradually, adoption over time with ever longer battery range, ever quicker recharge time, so that over the next couple of decades, EVs take a bigger and bigger slice of the pie. He said that's fine, but trying to get it done overnight was a colossal mistake, and it just plain is not going to work. You know, keeping in mind that the EV debate has become a politically charged subject, Lutz argued that legitimate pros, P-R-O-S, pros, exist in terms of driving an electric car. But there seems to be more cons right now. Right now, according to data, as of the third quarter of 2023, only 1% of all registered vehicles in the U.S. were electric. He said, Lutz says, we've had 125 years to perfect the internal combustion engine. We've only had roughly 15 years on doing modern electric vehicles with modern batteries. He says, so, you know, figure it out. We're just not ready.
Yeah, and I was telling you, my sister, now you understand my sister is on the left, and we just don't talk about politics when we talk. And she had messaged me last night or Saturday night, I believe it was, that she was considering getting an electric vehicle, but she had some concerns about it and wanted to ask me, and I said, I'd rather not. She said, what's the matter? I said, well, you know, that's going to, no, just tell me what you think. I said, well, what's your problem? She said, well, I'm checking on things like tires and stuff, and tires cost like $400. Why are they so expensive? Like three times the regular. I said, you got to remember, these cars are very heavy. They're all battery and stuff. And I said, did they quote you on putting an electrical outlet in your home? No. You can't just run an extension cord to it. You know that. No. And we just went over some other things. I said, if you're that concerned about it, start with a hybrid. That's how we should ease into electric vehicles. Get the hybrid so we can use both. And I told her, you know that you can only drive so far. Now, you've got a daughter that is in school 400 miles away. You can't make it in one trip. You're going to have to stop for a couple of hours and charge.
Yeah.
didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the problem. And then she said, I'm either going to go with the hybrid or I'm just going to stick with what I've got.
Yeah.
She said, it seems to me with all these add-ons, you're losing the savings you're going to get from gasoline.
Yeah. A good point. She'll thank you down the road, if not soon. All right. Before we get to our top 10, real
still
quick.
Hates Trump.
Real quickly, I hate to say this. Weren't you, Ed, making fun of my beloved White Sox, and all of a sudden, did they not sweep the Rays in three games? What's going on here, buddy?
Saturday night, we got home from dinner, and I said, don't turn the TV on. We sat down, she turned it on, and they went into overtime, or extra innings.
Extra innings.
As we turned it on, your White Sox hit a two-run homer to win the game.
Goodness, goodness, goodness.
And then yesterday, we completely stayed, well, we were out on the beach anyway. Oh, we stayed completely away from the TV.
All right, fair enough. And one other thing, the Lightning are trying to salvage the playoffs tonight. They are down 3-1, yep. And they are in. They are at the home of the Florida Panthers, mm-hmm. So go Bolts if we can do it. All right. Real quickly, our top 10. This is from the Wall Street Journal. These are the top 10 housing markets right now to buy real estate for spring 2024. Number 10, go to Portland, Maine, where the average median listing price of a home is $623,000. They have a very low unemployment rate there. You're going to get a job, 2.7%. Number 9.
We must have lived there.
Kingsport, Tennessee. Wow. It's only $315,000 for the median home there, and they've got an unemployment rate of 3.5%. Number 8, Columbus, Ohio. Columbus, Ohio, the average price there, $380,000, 3.2% unemployment rate. Number 7, back to the north. Manchester, Nashua area in New Hampshire, average price $550,000, only 2.4% unemployment. Number 6, Fort Wayne, Indiana, good old Fort Wayne, $325,000 median price home, 3.2%. Number 5, Springfield, Missouri, $340,000 median price, 2.8% unemployment. Number 4, Akron, Ohio, $212,500 median price, 3.7% unemployment. Number 3, Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's the home of University of Michigan. $525,000 median price, 3.3%. Number 2, Canton, Ohio. Have you noticed a lot of them are in the Midwest?
Yeah.
Canton, Ohio, $248,000 median price. The unemployment rate there is 3.8%. All right. It's going to be in the Midwest. You'll have no idea. Do you have an idea as to the state?
Illinois?
Yes.
Okay.
You're right. It's Rockford, Illinois. Rockford is about 90 miles northwest of Chicago, near the Wisconsin border. The average price, listen to this, $235,000. And they have a higher than normal unemployment rate, but everything else is pretty good there. The rate for unemployment is 6.5%. So good old Rockford. I've been there, and it's a nice little town. Mm. It really is. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back Wednesday. Be good out there, and remember, freedom works.